Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It is a blessing to be here. It's always a blessing to see Tara and her beautiful face.
It's fun and to be with my Rainy.
I'm glad it's mutual. We have been studying from Tara's Bible study, Wishing Forward. And last week, I storied a little bit of Luke chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. And we're just going to go back there and sit there a little bit because there is so much meat in those two verses that I never even noticed. And let me just tell you guys out there, this is every time I meet with Tara, I go and share everything I learned with all of my friends because you overlook so much of the word when you're reading, and I don't sit and take in as much as I should. And so it really challenges me to just kind of look over verses more instead of just reading through.
You know, but I can't lead in worship either. God uses our gifts in our areas, and not very many people are going to want to sit and do what I do at, you know, what is my habit?
Yeah, 3 a.m, yeah. Studying and in prayer. But I just think it's amazing, the revelation, because you take time and you have established the habit of meeting with the Father early, and He gives you such treasures.
It's amazing what He will give us. He says we have not because we ask not.
Right.
And so this morning as I was praying over our time with the radio, I kept thinking, I have not because I ask not. And I'm like, Lord, do not let one word fall empty to the ground. And the word that He gave me this morning that I've never heard before, but it was just my word that He was giving me, was, Lord, let us give verbal manna.
I love that.
Is that not, I was like so blessed. Is that awesome?
I'm getting it.
I'm like, God, that's exactly what I want to do, is I want to be a person that is your vessel in such a way that it's verbal manna that we give. And thinking of this passage, that the crowds have seen and tasted that what Jesus is doing is good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Literally Psalm 34:8 mm-hmm. is a reality in their lives. Jesus has at daybreak gone to a solitary place to pray, and the crowds come to Him and they want Him to stay with them. And He looks at them and He says to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well. And then He begins and He travels on and goes and does His ministry. And then it ends up where He goes to the Lake Gennesaret is the next thing that happens. What we have to unpack from this is there's a lot that we can learn from this. And we've been talking about the last 2 weeks how many things are caught instead of taught. Mm. That by sitting with somebody, following somebody, being near somebody, we learn so much more mm-hmm. from that than we realize. And right now in my life, the person I'm sitting at the feet and soaking is J.O. Terry. He is a retired missionary. He's in Dallas. And I will write, he's my mentor in how to do biblical storying, and he is amazing. I will write one question, and J.O. will write me pages that is just, I told him, I said, J.O., I have a file, and it's my J.O. file, and literally I know I will have volumes of books, not just one, but books from his teaching, from his lifetime of ministry on the mission field, and how to teach and how to story and how to study. And a lot of exhortation comes towards me from what he says, but without him intending to, because exhortation always has an admonishment. I can't tell you how many times I've been convicted of a sin that he doesn't even know I'm dealing with, that as he is speaking to me and the circumstances of his teaching mm-hmm. setting, I am convicted of things that I need to grow in.
Well, and let me just piggyback that just for 1 second, because I think that's so profound for women or men that have friends. Who you hang around with is who you're going to be catching things from.
Yeah.
And I think as believers, if you're desiring to grow from milk to food in the word, you need to kind of hang out with people. You should always have someone that's ahead of you mm-hmm. and someone that's a peer, and maybe someone that you can kind of encourage on the way up. And that's very biblical. But I know that I have been blessed by Tara And I'm just going to not trying to make your head blow up.
No.
I know it's only God, but I remember being in the car riding on the way home from the Open Door Mission, and you told me.
This was about 5 years ago.
It was 5 years ago.
Over five, probably 6 years ago, because it was before the radio station, and we've been doing the radio for.
Yeah, so 6 years ago, she told me that the resurrection power that Jesus came rose from the dead it is in me. And I had no idea that that was truth. And then when you told me that, I started actually praying that into my life. Mm. And I saw that, you know, lived out.
I see that lived out. And that's funny because I have no remembrance of it whatsoever.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You don't know who you're going to catch things from. And I think another reason why we need to stop and pray before we're around anyone, what comes out, we're not going to be perfect. But just to know that the people that you hang out with, you become.
Yeah. What you more is caught than taught. Yes. I mean, it's so true.
So true.
Here's the question I wanted to ask us. Okay. How has your life been crowded out from solitude and prayer? Now, without putting anybody on the spot, because you can't answer me on the radio because we're pre-recorded, so you can't call in and tell us. You could email us and tell us, and we could talk about it, but how has my life, let me put it on myself, been crowded out and focusing on solitude and prayer? Well, something that has been on my heart is I want my prayer to be a monologue and not a dialogue. Now, that coined phrase I get from Sarah Young, who is a former missionary, and she has amazing books, Jesus Calling, Jesus Lives, great devotionals to get. But the pondering of being in monologue, a monologue versus a dialogue, because what happens is we often end up in a monologue. Me just talk to God instead of a conversation and hearing back from God. And so been really challenging myself because it means that I really have to slow down. I can't go to my prayer time and say, okay, I got 5 minutes, get it done. Let me say this and move on. I can't do that. It means I have to be willing to sit, and however long it ends up being is how long it needs to be. And sometimes that means that as I am in the middle of praying and God brings something to mind, I may make a connection with somebody else typically it's with email or a Facebook, where he'll put somebody in prayer on my heart, and then I might send a prayer, and then I'll come back into my dialogue with God. And I'm finding that's really changing my prayer life. But what stops me in my solitude and prayer is that I'm finding ministry gets in the way. I can allow the very thing I'm trying to do so succumb me that it keeps me from drawing near to God. I can allow people to get in the way. The demands of different people having wants in my life because they see Jesus in me. And so they want a piece of Jesus because they don't know how to find him on their own. And so they want to find it in me. And I can allow that to hinder my walk with God. I found that Facebook, email, I don't really Twitter, but I do have a tweet. But these are all distractions of things that can get in my way because my prayer journal is in my computer. It's in my laptop. And so when I find that those distractions really pull on me, I keep a prayer journal as well. I will pull my prayer journal out because it really makes me slow down when I have to put it into pen because I can type really fast. And so I'll make myself slow down even more when I use a pen. And so there are so many things that can get in the way. My family, my dog. My dog can bark a lot when I'm doing my prayer time. It's amazing how my little dog becomes a minion.
Sabrina. Sorry, I just got a picture.
There's something about him going wacko crazy when I am in my prayer time. And I know my friends that have little preschoolers will testify that if they go to sit to pray, all of a sudden the children are crazy. There are so many things that can become a source of distraction. So for you, Sabrina, what might yours be?
Can I copy?
No, you can copy, please.
No, I definitely, I'm not on Facebook and I don't
tweet
or whatever.
Whatever that is.
So I've asked, I mean, my husband and I have kind of not chosen to go those routes because I'm very distraction attracted. So I feel like God's been telling me just to kind of wean a lot, you know? So even if I am meeting with one person, I try to do just one a day, but people definitely become distractions. Ministry definitely becomes a distraction. All great things, but I have to be what you said in the first recording, which was a couple weeks ago, purposeful, and then create new habits. Because if I can wake up early to go work out, I can wake up early to be with the Father. So it becomes a priority thing, not necessarily distractions too. Mm. It's just I'm not placing the priorities in the right places. I have time.
Mm. You know, I have a really sweet encounter with a woman when I was in Houston that was a power lifter. And so that should tell you right there. She was on a powerlifting team kind of thing, you know, competitions and stuff like that. And so for her, as was her habit, 4:30, she was off to the gym. And by 5, she was doing a workout until it was time to go to work at 8. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is serious. And we were having this dialogue about drawing near to God, having time in the Word. And in particular, she needed the Word. You know, she prayed when she worked out, but she needed the Word. And as we were dialoguing about this habit and the drawing near to God, she said, "I just don't have time." And Sabrina, I think you nailed it. A lot of us, myself included, can say, "I don't have time." But the reality is we do. It's the choice of where we are determining to spend our time. And when you love someone, it is the delight of your heart to be with that person. And a perfect example of that is my lunchtime. Greg comes home every day at lunch. And, you know, playing games is not really my thing. It really is not. But it delights my husband's heart. It feeds my husband's heart to play a game. And it's something that he enjoys. And because I love him and I know he enjoys it, I have become a person who is a habitual game player. And so every day at lunch, he comes home and we play games. We play all kinds of stuff and it's a blast. We have fun and it's our time where we talk about the kids and, you know, we do reasoning skills, we do teasing, we flirt. I mean, you name it, we have this time together.
That is so cute. I'm sorry.
She's over here laughing her head off at me.
I think that is so adorable. I'm sorry.
But it's our daily habit.
I love it.
It is our daily habit. And it's so much a daily habit that I've made a promise, I've made a commitment that I need to deliver a Jimmy John sandwich to a student at Omaha Christian Academy. And I'm having a hard time picking a day to do it because I don't want to take away my time with my Greg. Now, what wasn't at the beginning years and years ago, because we've been married 20 years, years and years ago, if you asked me if I wanted to sit down and play a game, I would tell you you're crazy. But now I do because quality time is something that's important to me. And that gives me my quality time with my husband because he focuses only on me when we play those games. And so I don't want to give that up for something that I've made a commitment to do. I need to, and I will. I'll do it this week. But do you see how when you love somebody, it is the delight of your heart to do that which will draw you near to them.
And that's my favorite verse this week. I mean, I have so many verses, but delight yourself in the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And he'll give you the desires of your heart. When you're delighting in him, he'll direct your steps. And the things that are coming your way, he'll give you the discernment to know, yes, this is from me, my daughter. This is from me for you to do because I know that you've been delighting in me and I want to give you those. It's such a, you know what I mean? It's like you said, that dialogue because I'm with him and then it's like that beautiful circle.
It is. Now, Sabrina, when you said that, I had to write it down. Okay, your verse. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus, prosukomai, is wishing forward to, which is to want, to wish, or to desire. I almost can guarantee that that word desire, delight yourself in the Lord, is Hebrew. It would be Old Testament, so it's going to be Hebrew. But I bet it's going to have the same connotation as what the prosukomai is when Jesus prayed. The desire of the want. So do you see here in the delight yourself in who? The Lord. It is the drawing near to God. It is the habitual of coming near to him in a solitary place. And that is where the delight in your heart, what you are wishing for in your heart, ends up happening. And so even the verse that you just quoted, it is a fulfillment of what we're talking about for this entire series. Now, is that fun?
I love God.
I love God. Faithful. And one of the things that I have on the handout on how to teach through a script is that I give a challenge that in one of the sections that you need to make sure that you find other scriptures that are related to the passages that you're studying, because it brings support in and it helps you to see how all of scripture works together. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was actually Psalm 37:4.
Yeah.
For those that might want to memorize or put it on their fridge.
Awesome. Put it on your fridge. Here you go. I have a whole bunch of note cards with praise verses that I need to get on a ring because I'm wanting to put in the car. Okay. I wanted us to look at that because this is key. I mean, Jesus was willing to, when it was crowded, when there were a lot of people, a lot of distractions, he left at daybreak to go to a solitary place to pray. And so some of the things that I wrote out that I saw that Jesus was wishing forward towards, think on this, to a posture of solitude, to a posture of prayer. Our society does not allow us to have solitude anymore. How often do you sit with the car, no music? How often do you sit in your home, no TV, no radio? The quietness, the stillness. How often can we, so often we fill our lives with noise that just the posture of solitude, quietness, to be able to be still and know that he is God and to hear the stillness of his voice. So he wished forward to a posture of solitude. He wished forward to a posture of prayer, which means communication and relationship with the Father, to his mission, which was to preach the gospel, which was the good news that God loved the world. He sent his only begotten Son, that anyone who believes in Jesus will be saved. He also wished forward to the posture of meeting the needs of others. We know the reality of that prior to this passage because the crowds would not have come after him to have their needs met if he had not already met needs of people. Okay, so he's wishing forward towards meeting the needs of others. And we want you to come back because we have more of things that Jesus was wishing forward to, but I just looked up and we have 30 seconds, and so our time ran out. We're hoping we can hear from you. You can contact us at www.tararye.com, or you can also find me on Facebook at Tara Rye. God bless.